welcome to episode 147 of the Chase the Red Grape podcast. I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
And today we are going to be doing another classic Rants and Raves episode. It was a bit, you know, like serious last week.
Yeah.
And, you know, a very important topic, the environment, but at the same time, I'm like, it's nice sometimes to just have these episodes where you can have a bit of a laugh and, you know, just rant and rave about things that are going on in our world, and in turn we kind of catch you up with what's hot and what's not.
No,
that really does sound like something from like MTV in like 1999.
Yeah, and pretty much.
I reckon that was probably an actual segment.
Yeah, I kind of, if it wasn't MTV, it was something.
Well, I wouldn't really know, because, you know, we didn't have like cable or Sky TV growing up, because I was deprived.
Oh, I don't know if we had it in 1999, but maybe like 2 years later.
And sorry, Mum, if you're listening to this, I wasn't deprived. I did very well with four TV channels.
Yeah.
We did okay with that. And I say four because Channel 5 might have existed at that point.
I did, yeah.
But we couldn't get it in our area of Scotland.
You got a snowstorm. Static.
Yeah, it was just static. It was like, but we did okay with four channels. So while you were watching like MTV and Cribs and stuff.
In fairness, I did.
My brother and I were just watching like The Simpsons and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
You basically had all of these channels, and all we watched was Sky One and whatever your music channel of choice was. I preferred MTV 2. Because it was whatever, cooler.
Alternative.
Just wasn't pop music, basically.
Oh, well, there you go.
There we go.
Although I bet you did do your fair share of pop music listening to.
Oh, yeah. But there was also the programmes on MTV. There was less music and more programmes.
Was The Hills on MTV?
I don't know what The Osbournes was, though.
Oh, I liked The Osbournes. Yeah. Channel 4 occasionally got the odd, like, you know, season of The Osbournes.
Yeah, but that was rubbish because it got the censored version, which is like not the point.
Yeah, and also like 4 years out of date.
Yeah.
Anyway, right. Rants and raves for today. David, we're going to kick off with rants because I think they're more fun. And and David, what is your first rant?
My first one is that the last week or two, I've just never felt quite rested. I've been going to sleep on time, sleeping for long enough, but then just waking up going, oh, I feel like I could do with another 10 hours. So I reckon it's a combination of busy brain, you know, busy work brain, busy dad-to-be brain, preparation mode, all this kind of stuff. We've had like two storms now in the last week, which isn't helping, so like high pressure and then full moons as well, and everything's all out of whack. So I'm kind of hoping that at some point my brain just stops thinking and can just chill out and actually feel a bit more rested, because I don't think it's going to get any better from this point onwards when Bub arrives. So
at least then you can just blame it on dad brain.
That's true.
Dad brain comes from just intense lack of sleep.
Yeah. It's not like, oh, well, I went to sleep and I just didn't quite sleep deeply enough. This is just going to be, I'm running on fumes.
Yep.
And coffee.
And we are very aware that that's what we've got ahead of us.
And Dolly mixture.
Dolly mixtures.
I feel that would help me keep going.
They're sweeties, by the way, in case you don't know.
Yeah.
And
best ones.
The best ones, yeah. Childhood classics.
Tiny sugary cubes.
Pretty much, yeah. They're good. Okay, my first rant is decaf coffee. So when you are a pregnant lady, you have to give up quite a lot of really good things. For me, it was coffee, one, because as you all know, like, I love coffee. We have Bean Geeks, the Instagram page, and, you know, we're really into coffee. For a while, I hated coffee because the smell of it just drove me batty in those kind of in that first trimester, and it made me feel really sick, so I wasn't really drawn to it anyway. And you also have to give up cheese.
Some cheese.
Some cheeses, yeah.
The good ones.
I can eat a lot of cheeses, but like my real favourites, I have to give up, like blue cheese. I have to give up and brie.
Danger cheese.
Danger cheese, yeah. And the last thing you kind of have to give up is alcohol, which totally makes sense. And I haven't really missed it much apart from the occasional wee dram of whiskey that I could, that I would just like to enjoy and savour. But anyway, we're talking about decaf coffee here. So decaf coffee is always going to be that little bit shit. It really is. It's always going to be not as good. It is stripped of all its caffeine. Now, I was never drinking coffee to get a buzz or to keep me awake. I was never really reliant on it for that crutch. You think you're not, but then sometimes when it gets taken away. But anyway, and it's stripped of a lot of flavour because of that. And as a result, decaf coffees always tend to have that bit of bitterness about them. And there's some that are definitely more bitter than others. So that's where it's real kind of not so nice taste comes from, that bitterness. And it really sucks sometimes when you're out and about, and you know, now I've got the taste for coffee back again, and you know, I'm having the odd occasional decaf coffee when, you know, we're out and about, as I said. And there's some places that manage to do a really good decaf coffee, and some places where it's just awful, absolutely awful. And you get to the point where you're like, do I want to pay £3 for a coffee and it to be a bit rubbish?
And it's totally hit and miss. Like, you can't tell beforehand if you haven't already done it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's crazy because some places you would think would spend a bit more money in getting a better quality decaf coffee. No. Some places like, you know, big chains like Starbucks, you would expect them to invest a bit more in a good quality decaf coffee because, you know, a lot of people are coming through their doors and it's something you would think that a lot of people would be asking for. Nope, it's pretty bad. As a rule of thumb, you really need to be going for a milky coffee. That gets rid of a lot of the bitterness. So I have found two places in the town that we live that do a really good decaf coffee. So I'm really pleased about that. So it's a rant that's got a little bit of a rave at the end of it, you know. So I've got two places where I can go to and I know I'm going to get a really nice coffee. But overall, would people please realise that sometimes people need decaf coffee, whether they're pregnant or it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and you shouldn't be drinking more coffee anyway. More caffeine anyway, or like you just, it's, you know, health thing or just a preference thing, you know. I think more investment needs to be made into decaf coffee, or just getting a high quality decaf coffee, because it can be done, and I know it can be done because I've had good ones.
Yeah, I also wonder if there is, I don't know enough about making the coffee making process. I wonder if the reason that you get the places that you know to get a good coffee are quite good coffee shops generally.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if there's a bit of a skill of making a decaf coffee that is slightly different to the normal version of like making the espresso. So big chains don't tend to do it so well because they just pump out the same, you know, thing.
They could burn it, which makes it even more bitter. Yes, I know. I think I have definitely been to very good coffee shops that have given me a terrible decaf coffee. And I know it will never, ever be as good as a regular coffee because it can't be because of what's got to be stripped.
Yeah, it has to lose something.
Because what it's got to be stripped from it. But I know that it can be at least nice.
Yeah, the best is when we have the same drink. So say we both have a cappuccino and you do that little thing like, did they definitely hear that that was a decaf? And we, you know, I do the taste test. And I go, oh yes, that one's obviously yours because it tastes rubbish compared to mine. and you do, you just know it. You just taste it. Like, in comparison, yeah, it does there's taste, just nothing. There's no comparison.
It does taste a lot different. But all I'm looking for right now is nice. I'm not asking for great.
But you've found your places.
Not asking for great. Just nice. Nice will do for just now.
You need nice things.
I just want nice coffee, please. Oh. Because I like the taste, and I know that it's quite good actually when you're pregnant and you start wanting like decaf coffee again, because A, it doesn't taste as good, but B, you know you're not getting that caffeine hit from it. Yeah. So you know you're actually being drawn to it more for the taste rather than the effect it could have on you, which is sometimes I would love to be able to just go, I can have a cup of coffee right now and would just perk up a bit. But it's also nice to know that, like, that's out of my system.
Yeah. So you're being drawn to the not-so-good version. Imagine when you can have the proper stuff again.
Oh, no, then I'll be hooked again. And then that goes back to lack of sleep.
Oh, yeah.
And things that we will have in our toolkit for when...
Yes.
...we have had no sleep.
Exactly. So my second rant is what I'm describing as... getting locked out. Now, I haven't been locked out of the house. I always remember my keys. I'm slightly paranoid in the place that we're at because it's one of those Yale doors where if you shut the door and you haven't got your keys, you're stuck. You can't just open the handle and walk back in. So I'm a bit paranoid. But no, this is to do with like cybersecurity. And I get that that's really important. And I'm not saying just, oh, well, whatever, make it easier. But where I get frustrated is the lack of kind of transparency and obviousness of why we're having to do certain things. So we had one instance this week where we needed to update our Dropbox account and we wanted to now pay in British pounds, but previously we were in Australian dollars. So we just thought, oh great, you know, we'll just update the region, we'll pay you all the money, jobs are good. And they're like, no, you can't change your region. You have to cancel your account. It then needs to go into a free account. And then you need to reactivate the paid account.
You need to reapply. Like, it's,
yeah, effectively. Yeah. Now, luckily, we could keep the same account. But it just seemed to be like more steps. And they never really explained why. They just said, this is it. Now, I understand totally, there probably is a really legit reason behind the scenes where Dropbox, like, if we get people to be allowed to change their region halfway through a year, it's a total pain, whatever.
Or it's got to do with tax reasons or whatever.
Yeah. I totally get that, but just tell us. Like, I've had a couple of things also in Australia where we've either, like, when we moved back, we were then locked out of certain things because it was related to a code that was on your phone, but then we didn't have that phone number anymore to get the text message to tell us the security code. And their advice was just, oh, just set up another account, it's fine. And I'm thinking, well, how is that secure? Because now I've got two accounts floating about, one of which I can never access ever again unless I get my old number back somehow. It just seems really weird.
Do you know what the one I found really odd is? Is you can have your banking app on your phone.
Yeah.
But your banking app and the security on that works because it registers that you're using that phone to get into it. But chances are, if someone's stolen your purse or your wallet, which has your cards in it, and you want to deactivate that, chances are it's because your bag's been stolen.
Yeah.
So they've probably stolen your phone as well.
Yeah.
So I can't just go and take your phone, for example, go into the same app and freeze my cards.
Yeah.
Because it will go, this account is not registered for this particular app. So I'm like, so I couldn't use anybody else's phone to help me in that situation. But yet you're telling me it's such a wonderful thing that you've been able to provide us the access of being able to freeze our cards. And I'm like, no, because chances are you'll probably lose the same things at the same time.
Which is why I think Apple has it quite right. Because in theory, you can go into anybody's phone. And if you can remember your login for your Apple thing, you can remotely disconnect your phone.
Yeah, but how tech savvy and clued in do you need to to do all that?
But like, if you've lost your phone, that at least there's something that can be done.
I know, but in that moment of panic, like I'm not thinking, I'm not like, oh yes, I remember in exact detail what my Apple account like username and password is to be able to.
Well, you should, because if it happens.
I know.
But yeah, and like you say there, where you.
But that's not like common knowledge. It's out, the information's out there, but like it's not like something that everyone would know.
No, it's knowledge to me, but I don't know.
Yeah,
you it's never not you never know what like your common. Knowledge is, how common that is.
And then, of course, if you have an Android,
I've got no idea.
I've got no idea. Anything more you want to add to that one?
No, I think that was ranty enough. I could continue ranting, but I don't feel it would do anything. It's also annoying when you change your phone because all the apps are logged into that phone and you don't think. Sometimes there's like a transfer mechanism, but you don't tend to do that until you've got your new phone and gotten rid of your old one. And then you go into an app that you haven't used for 3 weeks and it goes, it's not registered.
Mm.
You're like, oh, I don't have the old one anymore. Set up a new account. Oh, God.
My final rant is one that I'm sure many pregnant women have, and that's comments on your bump size. So I'm on week 26 right now, and whenever people ask me, you know, how far along are you, I say week 26, and more often than not people say, oh, you don't look like you're that far along. And now I normally just like kind of laugh it off, and I say something along the lines of, you know, well, I'm quite tall, so the baby has a lot of room to be able to stretch. So I do believe that's accurate. You know, I do believe that because I'm tall, you know, if I'm carrying the same size of baby as someone who's, say, 5'4" and I'm 6 foot, you know, that baby on a 5'4" woman is going to be compressed and needs a lot bigger bump than I do. So that's probably what it is. You know, well, no, it is what it is. And I know that from my latest midwife appointment that my bump is perfectly fine and it's the perfect size.
Yeah,
and
I was going to say, she said it was the perfect bump.
Yeah. And I'm really happy with my bump. But I am amazed that people think that it's something that they are just allowed to comment on and that they think that's perfectly okay.
Do you think that they believe they're giving you a compliment by saying that, or do you think they're just making a point?
I think they're just making a statement, because I think they're just comparing you to either themselves when they were pregnant or what they see around them. You know, I guarantee that they, if they've been pregnant before, they don't remember exactly how big they were or weren't at week 26.
Just get the tape measure out.
You know, I don't think that they accurately know other people that have been around them and what size they were at week 26. But I think I'm in a space where I can just like not take that information in. Hmm. And that's kind of like, and I laugh it off and I'm just like, oh, it's all good intentions and whatever. But some other people, that would lead them to panic. If someone says that their bump is smaller than they would expect, it can lead people to panic and think that there's something wrong. Or alternatively, if someone says, oh, you're looking really big, is it about to pop at any moment? And they go, no, I've still got like 10 weeks left. You know, they'll be like, oh, right, okay. And then you start to panic because it's too big or perceived to them. So I'm fine right now being able to deal with it, but I think people should really the commenting on the size of someone's bump is not really appropriate.
Just don't comment on how people look.
Yeah, in general.
Like,
unless you're turning around, like, it's really nice when, like, someone turns around and goes, oh, you're looking great.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, like, to hone in on, like, something specific, you know, oh, how tall are you? Well, I'm 6 foot. Oh, your feet are a bit small for that, aren't they? Like, what? Hang on a minute. What are you on about? It's that level of pointlessness.
I think it just gets a bit too personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're normally not meaning any harm. Well, like, but that doesn't mean that it's not. That doesn't mean that it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the key. Right, it's time for raves. Woohoo!
Woohoo!
So what's your first rave, David?
My first one is, we'll stick on the pregnancy train for a minute. So we're doing a hypnobirth class. We've done 2 out of 3. And I'm learning lots from it. I knew I would, but I didn't know what I would learn almost. And the kind of level of it. And it's really good. I mentioned it in the class yesterday. I like understanding how things work enough. So my logic at the time was, I like to know how a car works. I don't need to know what every single piece does, but I like to know the general, like, this does this, and then this does this, this does this. Right, great. And there's elements of that in the class, which is really good, because, you know, we haven't been surrounded with people or family that have gone through this. So this is all new to us. So even what might seem like the simplest detail to others, both of us are kind of going, oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
But then you've also got the other side of the class, which is a lot of mindset stuff, a lot of, by understanding what actually happens, you're in a lot more control rather than it being a kind of medical procedure.
Yeah.
And that's really nice. And I like being able to be there and, I understand this, and then me and Jen can talk about this, and I can help a bit more, and all that kind of stuff. So it's just a nice environment. We're there with a few other couples.
Yeah, there's 4 couples in total, which is like a nice size. And, you know, I think that I'm loving it. It means that, like, I've got a bit more control. It's kind of taking the clinical out of giving birth, because let's face it, there's nothing wrong with you when you're giving birth. You're not ill. You're going through something that's very natural, and it's really important to hone back on that. But what I also love is the fact that it's actually giving David a role during labor as well. And it's not, you know, sitting there and being all like, it's like airy fairy or chanting things at me. It's him being really supportive and knowing like key things to be able to help me, and really understanding, you know, what's going on at different stages and all the different stages of labor that I'll be going through. And because of that, he's able to help me in various different ways, because what I'll need in stage 2 labor will be very different to stage 1. And you're no longer that just dude at the side who is just like, you know, it's suddenly you are an active role in this labor. And I think that's so cool.
Yeah, I was going to say the word active is probably spot on. And I think it was really nice because everybody was there with their partners. And I think that there's a stereotype still about guys doing all of this, but all 4 of us were really like in that lesson, in that class, involved, asking questions, you know, all having a bit of a laugh and a joke at, you know, some things, but then, you know, asking questions, oh, right, okay, what about this or that? And especially there was one point where we were all trying to find ways to kind of relieve the strain of, say, the bump and all this kind of like really kind of light massage and this kind of stuff. And you could see all of the guys were like, right, okay, I can do this, I can help, I can fix things. And we all like jumped to action and we're like, oh, I'm going to try this one or that one. And we all did it.
And especially like all the homework and like there's a lot of, you know, breathing techniques and things like that. And they're just general skills for life to be able to deal with, you know, anything that might come up. And that's great as well, because it's not only are you learning it to be able to help me do it during labor, you're like, well, no, I'm learning these techniques for me.
Yeah.
As well, and like, that's really that kind of goes beyond supportive. You're not doing it because, you know, there's multiple advantages.
Yeah, no, it's just really, really enjoyable. And we've got a bit of time to put it into practice.
Yes, which is key.
There's a few others that are a bit closer, so they'll have to really practice really hard.
So my first rave is going back to old loves and starting new ones. So I am talking about, television programs, basically. So going back to old loves, isn't it really nice when you rewatch a TV program that you loved a long time ago and you've seen a million times and you rewatch it again and it just feels like that cozy comfort blanket? And for us, when David and I first started being together, we watched The Long Way Round, which was a documentary about Ewan McGregor and Charlie Borman driving motorcycles around the world. And it was just something that we both loved to watch. I think it showed us our sense of adventure before we even realized that, because we weren't watching it for the motorbikes.
No.
We weren't watching it necessarily because we had a vested interest in either of the actors. I think we loved it. Now looking back on it, I'm like, oh, I think we loved it because we did have that sense of adventure, even if back in 2005 we didn't realize it. So I think that's really cool. And we saw that it was on Amazon Prime and we were like, right, let's watch it again. And it was so lovely to watch again because there was bits in it we were able to quote off the back because we just knew what was coming up, and there was other things where I think it was an updated version of it. So there was a few things that were like, hang on a minute, that wasn't in your DVD, David.
Yeah, I didn't have the extended edition.
Yeah.
I had the first edition.
So it was really cool to see all those little extra bits that they've put in. And it just felt really good to watch it again and just be like, yeah, we know what happens in the story and we know how it ends, but you still have those moments where you're like, and it was just really good.
It was long enough ago that we couldn't remember it word for word, but when certain things happened, you knew what the next 10 minutes was going to be. Oh, yeah, they met that guy, and oh, yeah, that was weird or whatever. But I didn't realise there was about three phrases or quotes in it that I still use randomly day to day now, and I'd kind of forgotten where they'd come from, and I was like, oh yeah, that was where that came from originally.
Yeah.
So that was quite good.
So yeah, if you haven't watched The Long Way Round, then do it because it's so good. And going into new loves, isn't it great when you start a new series and you're like, oh, this seems like it's going to be really good, and you know you've got a few seasons there, so you know it's going to be like something that you can sit back and you're in it for the kind of long haul, and you can watch it for a wee while. So we've literally only watched the pilot episode of Madam Secretary, but even just the pilot, both David and I are like, well, this has got us hooked already. And that doesn't normally happen to me. I don't normally watch a pilot and go, okay, I'm hooked already. Normally I take a few episodes before I can go, yeah, I think this is something I want to watch. But with this, I was like, no, I'm in it.
Yeah, it does seem really good. And it's that classic old school pilot where, you know, within an hour, you've gone through everything and it finishes on a cliffhanger because they wanted the season to get picked up, which normally wouldn't happen, episode one, massive cliffhanger. But, we'll get back into that next week.
Yeah, and we'll let you know what we think of it. So what's your last rave?
My last rave is, so I've just finished, it took me a few attempts and a few taking it back out of the library because it took me so long to read it and a few renewals, but I finally got through the whole Elton John autobiography book, and it was really, really good. I didn't know a lot about him.
So this is Elton John's official autobiography called Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really good. I didn't know a lot about him. We'd seen Rocket Man, which really enjoyed. And obviously that's a film, so there's elements that are, you know, kind of entertainment value, but it seemed pretty close to what he was talking about. But I really liked his style because it was just a nice chat with somebody. And sometimes he was talking about, you know, things where he was like, oh my gosh, this was hilarious. Other things were, oh my gosh, this was horrendous. How did I even get through that? Some things he's like, I don't even remember that. But it was just a really interesting book. And obviously, he's quite an interesting person because he's gone through a lot. He's done a lot of things. He's been obviously very successful, but I just didn't know a lot about him. And I just thought he was a really good writer. And he seemed to be very open and honest. And there were certain things where he looked back and went, yep, that happened. I kind of wish it didn't, but at the same time it did. And if needed, I've apologized to the people involved or whatever, but it still did happen. And it's not fair for me or for, you know, his kids to go, oh, no, that didn't happen. I'm not telling you about that story. He's kind of been like, no, it did.
Yeah. I mean, and I think from the bits and bobs you've told me about it, he seems really switched on now. You know, it's a guy who's been through a lot, but at the same time, he has learned a lot from his mistakes and as a result has, you know, developed into this person that seems really switched on and seems like he would be like really fun to hang out with.
And it also shows, because like he goes through his childhood and all of this, and it also shows like, okay, you've got whatever preconception of him, but everybody's gone through something.
Yeah.
You know, people aren't just whatever the way they are with by accident. And often, you know, it might be that it's over the top or alienates people or whatever, but it's probably because they've gone through something. So it's not just that they're being a pain for the sake of it. So I think that that was that kind of logic of, oh yeah, you might not always know someone's backstory. So it's maybe a bit unfair to just go, well, they're just a diva or a pain in the arse or whatever.
That's cool. So, and my last rave is that we are going on holiday.
Hooray.
So we are, next week we are going on our, what we're calling our baby moon, because it is. So yeah. If you don't know what a baby moon is, it's a kind of play on the word honeymoon, but it's a small break that you go on before you have the baby, just to spend some time together, relaxing and just chilling out before all the craziness begins.
Yeah, it's like the opposite side of the event to a honeymoon. It'd be good if you went on honeymoon before the wedding.
But yeah, so no, I don't think it would be. I think it's nice to know that all the wedding crazies are over and done with, and now True. You can just enjoy being a couple. This is enjoying being a couple before all the craziness begins.
Yeah.
So we're going to... We've got four days in the Peak District, so in Derbyshire, and it's a beautiful part of the world. It's not too far from us. It's just over an hour's drive, which is perfect. And we wanted to go at this time of, you know, my pregnancy, because yes, I have a bump, but it's not too big. I'm not too uncomfortable. It's just a good period before things potentially could be a lot harder. So we are just looking forward to just relaxing. We've got a nice little Airbnb that has a wood-burning stove, and it's in a renovated barn. And you know, if you don't know, in the Peak District, we're kind of in between the towns of Buxton, which is an old spa town, and Bakewell, the home of the Bakewell pudding, which then morphed into the Bakewell tart. And I'm sure like any Brit will know about Bakewell tarts, and they're delicious.
And if you don't, what the heck? Go sort that out.
Yeah, and if you're not British, and if you ever come over to the UK, have a Bakewell tart.
Just the first day.
Yeah, even if it is a Mr. Kipling one from the supermarket, it's very good.
You'll get the idea.
We're just looking forward to spending some time together. And just, as David says, he's quite tired at the moment, so you know it'll be good for him to just have some chill out time, and then obviously for me too. So we're really looking forward to that. So as a result, there won't be a podcast next week, because we are taking a well-deserved break.
I will be eating a Bakewell tart or pudding. And or pudding. Maybe both.
Although a Bakewell pudding is supposed to just like literally glue your teeth together.
Yeah.
There's a reason why supermarkets don't make mass-produced Bakewell puddings.
Yeah. I'd heard very early on when we moved here that it was very, very sweet. To the point where one guy was just like, I really, really like sweet things and I can't handle it. It's too much.
We have to try it.
We'll try it.
We'll try it. We'll try it and we'll get back to you. But
if our teeth aren't glued together.
Yeah. If it doesn't pull all our fillings out or something.
Yeah, I don't like Bakewell puddings. I've got no teeth.
But yeah, so that's it for this week, folks. If you've got any questions or if you've got any rants or raves of your own, we really want to hear them. So you can email us at chasetheredgrape@outlook.com or you can comment on the Instagram post that goes along with this episode. Definitely want to hear some of your rants and raves. Or you can send us a DM. That's fun too.
They can be little tiny things that are doing your head in right now. Or they can be massive things that are doing your head in right now. Or have done for a long time.
Or they could be raves.
Yeah, little things that you love right now. Or big things that you love right now.
Yeah.
But normally the doing the head bit in is the fun one.
Yeah.
Not that we'll do positivity. It's all, you know, kind of getting things out in the open. And.
But sometimes it's nice to just be able to have a little rant about something.
Yeah, it's a good way to connect with people.
Yeah, me too. Oh, I feel like that's such a British thing. It's a good way to connect with people over the things that you loathe.
Yeah. Oh, it's raining again. It's not actually. It's just really windy right now.
Yep. So anyway, we're going to let you go and we will speak to you all in 2 weeks' time. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.